Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of A Handful of Hope. Oh, I forgot to tell you, that was the name we came up with. A Handful of Hope. And I am so grateful to have my friend Jocelyn as a guest today. Jocelyn is an author of the book Thriving Through Transitions and is a transitional life coach who's gotten really great at harnessing the awesome power of gratitude. And it's extraordinary to see, knowing Jocelyn for the last several years and seeing how she's really embracing gratitude and bringing it in and sharing it with other people. And she's got an awesome Facebook community she's building around gratitude. So I cannot think of anyone better to talk about gratitude today than Jocelyn. Hi.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Hello.
How are you? It looks nice and warm where you are.
It looks a lot warmer than it is, but it's going to be nice and warm later. I can see the sun everywhere except for literally on this patio. So. Once the sun comes out,
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Jocelyn, right now there's a lot of, we were talking a little bit beforehand, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. And it seems like, I mean, you know as well as I do, fear is such has such a commanding presence, and it's such an addictive emotion, if you will. And people are getting really upset, really scared of certain things. People are self-isolated, quarantined, on lockdown, whatever the terminology is we're using. Why is gratitude so important right now for people?
I think that gratitude is always so important, but we sometimes won't go there until we get into a fearful enough place that we're uncomfortable. But the reason why it's so important is because it's always the antidote. So if you're feeling, you know, uncertain about life or fearful of whatever's happening around you, gratitude, love, spreading joy, being of service, those are the types of emotions that can counteract that and bring you back to a positive mental state. And I think gratitude is probably one of the fastest ways, just because all it takes is really thinking about things. You know, you don't have to go out and do anything necessarily. You can just think about the fact that even in this storm of life, if it's a storm for you, there's a lot to be grateful for in that. But you can go back and you can think about better times that you've had, or you can, you know, just be grateful for your health. I mean, that's a huge one right now, especially. And that can actually have a positive impact on our body. When we talk to ourselves and tell our body how grateful we are for everything it does for us, it can boost our immune system, and they've proven that scientifically. So
I love that. And I'm 100% with you on that, because I have a daily gratitude practice, as I know you do. And I want to get into that in just a moment, but I think, you know, one of the things, so let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Let's say somebody's watching and they're hearing you talk about gratitude and their arms are folded, they're frowning, and they say, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, you're sitting outside, it looks nice where you are. I'm on lockdown. I'm not getting any money. I'm losing my job. I'm uncertain about my future. You know, then I'm listening to these reports that are saying that I could be sick in a matter of days. You know, how in the hell am I supposed to be grateful for something? What advice would you give that person about gratitude?
I started right where they were. And when I found this practice, I was at the lowest point, I think, in my life. I had my dad pass away unexpectedly, gone through a divorce. I had $0 to my name. I had actually just recently gotten remarried, and I thought everything was going to be better. And then my husband lost his job, and I was solely responsible for not just my two kids, but his daughter now also. And I felt like, does God just hate me, you know? Yeah. But I started reading books, and I think that that's one of the quickest ways that we can empower ourselves. If we don't get to be around positive people or people that think like this, is start reading books by people that do. And luckily for me, I read a book called The Magic that completely changed my life. And it was 28 days of studying gratitude and a practice every single day that built on each other. And the first half is all about being grateful for what you have. And the second half is all about being grateful for what you want. And I can tell you, it completely changed my life, not just from an emotional standpoint, but I literally was given a car on day 27. I was given money to pay off another car on day 45. So, I mean, when I don't, I think it's that saying, like, it's not, what is it? It's not happy people who are grateful or blessed people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are blessed.
I love that.
So it, I think you have to start with getting into the emotions. I was just watching a documentary Deepak Chopra has on Gaia Network, and he was saying, he said the same thing basically about happiness. People always think like, oh, well, when I have what they have, I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you'll have what they have when you are happy. And it may look completely different on the outside. You know, you may have an abundance of great relationships in your life, and you may have an abundance of, or you may have an, like a financial abundance, or it can come in like so many different ways and from the most, or from the least expected places.
I love what you said there, and I hope everybody paid attention to that, because fear, you know, what's the abbreviation for fear is future events appearing real, right? So much of our fear is generated in the future. We're imagining these worst case hell and damnation type scenarios happening, right? Instead of being present to what we have and who we are and all that we do have. And I love the idea of if we can imagine the worst case scenario and be in fear, why not imagine the best case scenarios and be in gratitude?
Yeah. Okay. Well, and hope is always, you know, fear and hope are the same thing. They're both a choice that you're making to project what you think about the future. So if you choose one that's empowering, and then you can infuse that with gratitude, like the second half of that course was all about being grateful for things that you want to show up in your life. And one of the biggest things I was grateful for, and I still have the journals, which is so cool to look back on. I had 3 kids that had to go to 3 different sporting events. And because my husband lost his job, he also lost his vehicle. He had a company vehicle. And I was so stressed about a car because they had sports at different places at the same time. And that was like the big thing that I kept thinking, I'm so grateful and thankful I can get all the kids around to where they need to go. And I have safe, reliable transportation and all, you know, I went through all the reasons why I would feel grateful about that. And not just, I'm grateful that I got this car. It's all the reasons why. And then a car shows up, you know, literally out of thin air, like a brand new car that my husband's estranged father called and said, hey, I just bought you a car, a minivan. I'm like, what?
Wow.
And he said, yeah, when I was there, because I had called him and said, I know you and Jason aren't talking, but I want you to have a relationship with our kids. And he got to come out and meet them and went back home to South Dakota. And we didn't talk for a couple weeks. And then, you know, talked a few times in there. And then 2 months later, he calls and says, I just bought you a minivan. I'm like, what? He says, well, when I was there. And what was interesting is he listed off all the reasons why that I had been writing about in my journal. Like, when I was there, I just noticed that you guys only had one car. And I'm sure that's really stressful with the kids. And, you know, you need safe, reliable transportation and all these things.
Wow. No kidding.
And I'm driving it out to you next week. And so sometimes I think we can like zero in on where we want the thing to come from. Like, oh, I don't see how this can happen in my life. So it just can't happen. I never in a million years would think this person, you know, my father-in-law, who I didn't really know, would be the person that would provide this amazing gift. But the universe has crazy ways of making things happen. And I think that that's a big piece of it too. It's like, first get grateful for what you already have, because that's where it all starts. And we can always find what's right in any situation if we look hard enough. And if you're going to use the power of gratitude to project into the future, make sure that you're not attaching yourself to how it has to look. Like, get into the emotions of it, because that's where all of the power lies.
Can you play with that a little bit? Because I know I struggle with that too, is attaching myself to what it looks like. Could you break that down a little bit for people, just so they have a clear picture of that?
Yeah, actually I have, there's a gal that I am working with right now, and she's writing a book called You Only Get What You Order. And one of the things that she talks about in it, I just want to give her credit because it's cool brilliant time. To me. I never have heard anyone talk about it this way. But she talks about, you know, when you're at a restaurant and you order a steak, you don't go follow the cook into the kitchen and say, how are you preparing that? When's it going to be done? How's it going to show up? Who's going to serve it to me? You just know that you ordered a steak and it's going to show up. And what happens a lot of times with what we want or desire is that we think it's got to show up in this very, very, very specific way. And then we chase the cook around, you know, or chase the waiter around telling it the whole time, I need it to look like this and be this. And, you know, and the only thing that you actually need to focus on is I want to order the emotion of peace. Like, wow. It doesn't matter how it shows up. It doesn't matter if it's just a stranger comes by and smiles and makes you feel kind of happy and peaceful, or if somebody comes and drops off groceries, or, you know, it can show up in any variety of ways.
I love that explanation. And I think about how much of my life I have obsessed over chasing the cook around or, you know, and it's,
me too.
I absolutely love that explanation. There was something else you said earlier about choosing and infusing. I love that play. Like it's making the choice. Are we focusing on gratitude or fear, hope or love, you know, hope or fear, which one is it? And then what are we infusing? What extra emotion, what extra energy are we putting into that? Right. There's so much fear right now. So we choose to engage in the fear and then we infuse it with body language, verbal language, people we surround ourselves with, whatever it is, to just magnify that fear, as opposed to look stepping away and choosing something else and then infusing it with that what would it be, the yin to the yang of it or whatever. I love that. Jocelyn, what's your daily gratitude practice look like?
I have a few because I really I'm totally an emotionally driven person. So not emotionally driven, but I like to do what feels right that day. So rather than it always looking the same, what I found was I had for a long, long time, every single day I'd write 10 things that I'm grateful for and why I'm grateful. And eventually it kind of got to be this like habitual pattern and I wasn't completely in the experience anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
And so then I started going, you know, I need to mix it up. Maybe if I go for a walk and I just think about these things that I'm grateful for, or I talk out loud and say the things that I'm grateful for, like I'm talking to a friend, then that's another way that I can do this. Or sometimes I will do like a meditation that has gratitude, like a underlying theme of gratitude, and I'll just sit there and meditate on it. But I would say the biggest one that I do most of the time is definitely writing the 10 things that I'm grateful for and why. I went through a year, I read a book called A Simple Act of Gratitude. I can't remember what it was called actually, but it's by John Krolik. And, the whole thing was basically how his life completely changed by writing a thank you letter every single day for a year. And he went from bankrupt and completely disassociated from his kids to great relationships, new wife, happy marriage, and the best he had ever done financially. And so I did that for a year. That was a really powerful experience and something I would really recommend to people right now, because you're staying at home anyways. Wash your hands first so you don't send the coronavirus with your letter. But it was really powerful for people to get a handwritten letter of thanks. And it was pretty easy for like the first 2 months. I had a lot of people on my list, and then it got really, really hard to start thinking of people. But one of the things that happens is you start going, you know, I could leave one for the mail lady, and I could send one to this person who has made a tremendous impact on my life, even though I know they'll probably never read it. Like I sent one to Tony Robbins, and actually they sent me back a full course of his just as a thank you for my thank you.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. So I just think the more that you put that stuff out there in whatever form it takes on, the better. And if you can do a combination of several different things, one thing that I think would be fun to do with, you know, if you're home with your kids, you can put a jar on the counter or maybe like do a craft project and decorate it and make that a daily gratitude jar where everyone just writes something down and, you know, at the end of this, seal it all up and look back on it from a year, like on a year from now. I can't speak this morning.
No, that was perfect. Yes, it's a perfect segue. My next question is going to be, if let's say you're at home right now, which most of us are, we're self-isolating, or we're in California now, we have a, I don't know what it's called, the official order is supposed to be locked down, stuck inside, whatever, for who knows when. And so a lot of people are in this situation now. What would be your three best gratitude practices that a family can do at home together? And it could be something that could, because I think that this is really such an extraordinary opportunity for many of us to connect more, to get closer to the people we share the walls with, we have such an amazing time right now where we can do technology like this and we can still see our people. And so somebody's stuck at home, they're locked down, they feel isolated and broken away. They need to get connected to gratitude. What are the three things that you could think of that they could do? I love that idea of doing the jar, maybe two others that would be really beneficial for them.
I would say for sure, obviously keeping the journal is probably one of the biggest ones that you can do. Writing a thank you or even sending a voice text. Like we did that for a challenge 2 days ago in the gratitude group. And I received some amazing messages back just from sending those messages. And it was, I mean, every one of those little things, it boosts how you feel. So even just sending it, and if you don't get a response, it feels good. But then to like hear how that impacted somebody. When I was doing this a couple of years ago, I sent one to my uncle, and my mom's side of the family is very non, like, we do not say I love you. It is not emotional.
Yeah.
Or very, you know, I think my grandma said I love you to me twice, and both times she's like, she has to be in a state where she's like crying to say it. So it's very, you know, we just don't go there. So even though I know that there's tons of love. And so I had never shared with my uncle like how I felt about just all the different times. I mean, as kids, we would go crack. Can you hear the geese? So cool. As kids, we would go crabbing with him, and he always did so many fun things with us. And I sent him a letter, and he didn't say anything back or anything. And then I showed up at Easter a couple months later, and he gave me a big hug, and he had tears rolling down his face, and I had never seen him like that. He said, "You don't know how much that meant to me. I've never gotten a letter like that before."
Wow.
And so just taking that time for the little kindnesses, we have more than enough time right now. Like time is probably our asset right now that we can use to really like make the world a better place. So even if it's, I mean, you can even do things like just seeing like kind of a soul to soul connection where you just visualize yourself sending that person love and gratitude and making them feel good. And sometimes, you know, the other person will actually feel that really strongly in the moment too. So I would say for sure, the gratitude journal, for sure. Writing a letter every day, if you just do one, and you can do it on an email, you can do it on a voice text. And then I think another really good one that is applicable right now for a lot of people is turning a negative into a positive. So I love talking about reframing things.
Yes.
So when we are faced with something we don't like and we don't want to see in our life, there is always a blessing in it. And one of the things that you can do is just try to, you know, identify a situation. Maybe it's that you just lost a ton of money in your 401k and it's bringing up all of this insecurity and emotion for you. Well, what are the blessings that can come out of that? You know, maybe you're prioritizing relationships more, or maybe you're, you know, focused on, I don't know, little small gestures of kindness that you wouldn't normally focus on because you're too busy and you're not thinking about it. Or maybe it's actually making you be more engaged in your finances because you have let things go for a really long time. And now all of a sudden it's giving you the opportunity to say, oh, wait, I need to maybe back up and get on top of this stuff again.
Yes.
I think the negative to a positive thing is really, really important. Like anytime that I have a really negative situation going on in my life, I will a lot of times sit down and do this just because it's such a great reminder that there's always, always going to be a positive that comes from it. But it's hard to see sometimes in the moment. So the more that we just embrace that, even if you don't see it right now, the more that we can embrace and say, I know that there's going to be something positive that comes out of this, it puts you in a state of hope rather than fear.
Yep.
And I think it's also important to remember, I've been doing this course right now on surrender, and it's really important to remember that we're supposed to also feel the shitty emotions sometimes. Like, we would not be happy human beings if all we had is happiness. Yep. So we have to have contrast at times in our life to be able to appreciate things more and to stop and slow down and smell the roses and get back to what's really important. So if we keep that perspective and that, you know, at times in our life, we're really actually meant to go through hard things.
Yeah. I love that you said that. I think stress is a luxury.
Yeah.
In a sense, right? That it's a luxury that we have, that we can stress about having a roof over our head because billions of people around the world don't. It's a luxury that we can stress about, you know, not having enough toilet paper when millions and billions of people around the world probably go without toilet paper. You know, it's a luxury that we can stress and look at what's happening right now, some of the worst days of our life. But for billions of people around the world, this would actually be the best day of their life. In the sense of they live with disease every day, they live with poverty, they live with the constant threat, or maybe they are homeless and going without food. And the idea that we still have roofs over our head, we have governments that are saying, you know, putting these laws in place to protect that, whatever it is, we have access to grocery stores, we have Wi-Fi and internet that we can go on here and we can vocalize our stress and anxieties. It really is. It's such a luxury that we have that we're able to stress out about these things. And I think it's so important for people to, you know, really embrace that concept of reframing, because I love what you said, that there's always a blessing in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the more that you look for the blessing, it's kind of like anything else, like whatever you look for, you're going to find it. And whatever you get in the habit of looking for is going to make up the majority of what you see. So like most of us are in a habit of looking for the negative because there's a lot of conditioning that happens in our world to help us look for the negative. So it takes sometimes a really conscious effort. If I was starting and I've never done anything to like intentionally bring gratitude into my life, I would say like quadruple down on this for the next month, because you have not a lot else going on. Possibly some of you obviously are working in the public sector and are at hospitals helping, and you know, but for the most part, a lot of us are quarantined to our homes, and this is a great time to be focusing on this stuff. And don't just, you know, I always think you get what you give, and if you're trying to rush through this and just check it off your to-do list, then you're not going to get a lot out of it. But if you intentionally look for every opportunity that you can find to be grateful, to feel the emotions. And one of the things that you can really think about is, I always try to think about what are the emotions that I want more of in my life rather than what do I want to happen. So when I was in my early 20s and had just gone through my divorce and all that, one of the emotions that I was constantly focusing on was peace, security, feeling a sense of safety, those types of things, because I had so much uncertainty in my life at that point. And so many of us right now have this massive amount of uncertainty. And so look for any opportunities to find peace and security. And, you know, it started for me, like, I was really grateful that I just had healthcare, you know, health insurance. Mm-hmm. And that grew to, then all of a sudden I was grateful that I could be making $5,000 a month, or, you know, it was like these little things along the way. And why I felt so grateful for them was because it gave me a sense of peace and security. But it wasn't like I had to focus on, I want to make $20,000 a month to feel secure. I just want to, I don't care what it, how it comes. I just want to feel secure. And then all of a sudden, all of those things start showing up that will make you feel secure.
I love that. Justin, three rapid fire questions to close us out. Ready?
Yes.
Everybody's at home, lockdown, quarantine, so they have some extra time. I really think the worst thing people could do is spend all this time binge watching the Kardashians or something like that on Netflix. And I think one of the great gifts that the experts that are showing up on here is to gift people with knowledge and opportunities to expand their knowledge, expand their mindset. So if people read one book while they're at home during this time, what's that book?
I am reading The Surrender Experiment. I just finished it. It's an excellent book on going with the flow of life, mm-hmm. and how beautiful life can become when we do that. So I would say if you're at a place where you're open to it, because it's pretty deep. It's actually a very deep, thought-provoking book. But so good in times like this when you basically have to surrender to what life's bringing your way.
Love that. Movie or documentary?
I just watched the Deepak Chopra one on the Gaia Network, and it's 10 ways to increase your happiness, and it's really, really good.
Okay.
So I would say that one. It's old. You can tell it's very old, but it was great.
Oldie but goodie. And then yeah. Podcasts to listen to.
Oh, I might have to just go with Tony. I haven't been listening to very many podcasts lately. I re-listened to The Way of the Peaceful Warrior on audiobook.
Audiobook.
Yeah. And that is always one of my favorites. It just gets you into that mindset of appreciating everything. And, you know, you look at the trees and you're like, oh, I'm just so grateful that they're here and creating this beautiful landscape. And so it kind of puts you into this perspective of like, everything is beautiful and perfect. And it's just one of my favorite books. So.
That's awesome, Jocelyn. I'm so grateful for you and the time you've taken today and the wisdom you've shared. I hope everybody who's listening to this and has listened to this really takes this to heart. There's so much wisdom and opportunity here for you to make not only an immediate impact and positive difference in your life now, but going forward. I love the idea of being grateful for the future. You know, in the wise words of the Terminator, the future is not set. We have no fate but what we make for ourselves. And really embrace that too, because in times of uncertainty, one thing we can start doing is getting certain in our mind about what kind of future we want to live and how we want to show up. So look for your blessings today, and, you know, maybe type in what you're grateful for below, and we'll be definitely share with you. And then Jocelyn's going to give me her links that she wants me to share so you can connect with her. She's got an awesome gratitude group that she started up on Facebook. That would be a great resource for many of you to jump in. And she does a 14-day challenge that's going on right now with it. That's really incredible to be a part of, but to see also how meaningful it is to the people who are participating in it. So maybe some of you'd want to jump in there. But Jocelyn, thank you so much
being here. Thank you.
I'm very grateful for you.
What?
Very grateful for you.
Oh, I am too. I was just going to say that. Thank you for doing this, because you're bringing people peace just through, you know, giving. I think sometimes knowledge is power. So when you're giving people tools and resources and access to people that are going to help bring positive messages, then you're making the world a better place.
Oh, thank you. We'll do a social distance hug to finish up. Yes. Social distance hug. All right, Jocelyn, take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.